Hello, I'm Greg Simpson. I'm a partner at Mazars, and in today's podcast, we're going to talk about prudential regulation, in particular, the changes with Basel III. I've got with me today Phuong Gomar and Bowen Liu, both in our banking consulting team specialising in prudential regulation. Welcome.
Hi, Greg. Thank you.
Really happy to be here, Greg.
You're very welcome. Phuong, we are talking about Basel III. Can you give me an overview as to why we're talking about Basel III today?
Yes, of course, Greg. The work on developing the Basel III Accord started 10 years ago. A first set has been finalized, that was in 2010, and that was implemented in the UK and in Europe in 2014 through CRR, so Capital Requirement Regulation. Now, the Basel Committee has finalized the second set of reforms, so late last year in 2017. The potential implementation date for the second set of Basel III Accord is in 2022.
Okay, so not too far off, but obviously think people need to start planning and thinking about what the implications of that would be now. And I understand from prudential regulation there could be many aspects of that. What are we going to cover today?
Yeah, so in this podcast we're going to cover two main aspects of those finalised accords. So the first one is the revised standardised approach for credit risk. And the second aspect is the revised standardised approach for operational risk. Of course, as you said, there are other aspects that we won't be covering here, but we may in the future, notably the leverage ratio, the output floor, and the revised framework for IRB model for credit risk.
And of course, using the standardised approach, this is what most of the overseas and challenger banks that we deal with would be using.
Yes, exactly.
Good. Bowen, welcome.
Thank you.
Can you give me an overview of what the changes are for the standardised approach to credit risk?
Yes, of course. So there are three main changes to the standardised approach for credit risk, reflecting three aims of the regulator. So the first aim of regulator is to make standardised approach more risk sensitive. So they have implemented different reforms to achieve this goal. So one way they can do it is to make lookup table, the risk weight lookup table, more granular. So for example, in the past, for corporate exposures, under the lookup table, there are four different risk weights. But with the implementation of the finalized Basel III, there will be five instead of four different risk weights. So it's more granular comparing to before. And then they also make the standardized approach more risk sensitive by introducing a new exposure class. So for example, they introduce a new exposure class called specialized lending that is relevant for project finance, development finance. So they design a new approach just for these exposures. So that's the second way they do it.
And just to clarify, we're talking here about the standardized approach, not an advanced method.
Yes.
So is this still relatively a relatively simplified approach to credit risk?
It is. Although they introduce some new exposure class, the idea or the approach to assign risk weights to this new exposure class is still following the old traditional way by looking up or by referring to external credit ratings. So the underlying methodology is the same. You're just making it more detailed, more granular.
Okay, understand that. And you said there were three main changes. What were the other ones?
Right, so the second main changes is to reflect the regulator's aim to reduce the reliance on external credit ratings. So regulator doesn't want banks to blindly follow external credit ratings. Rather, the regulators want the bank to carry out their own research and to assess if the risk weights derived from external ratings is prudent enough or it can adequately cover the credit risk contained within and the exposure to the counterparties. So each bank is required at the loan origination to carry out a due diligence process, and also they have to carry out this process annually to assess if the risk weight is prudent enough.
And just in terms of the original process, presumably it's not much more than what they're doing as part of the credit underwriting anyway for any exposure?
Yes, I think it's more from a regulatory point of view. So in the past, the bank carried out this underlying the loan origination process mainly to assess whether they have done it in accordance with credit policy.
Their own policy.
Their own policy, yeah, but now it's
to meet the regulatory.
Exactly, exactly.
And the other point you made there is about doing this annually. the other key thing which I'm constantly talking to with clients is ICAAP.
Yes.
I mean, is this something which would then naturally fit to an annual review of your ICAAP?
Yeah, absolutely right. So part of the requirements is to illustrate to the supervisor that you actually have carried out all these exercises. So one way, or one of the easiest way to do it, is to write what you have done in the annual ICAAP update. So the PRA will check your ICAAP and see, I have seen you done these due diligence processes, and they will be satisfied.
Great. So more granular risk weighting. Carry out your own due diligence,
yes.
So you're not relying entirely on external ratings.
Exactly.
And what was the third key change?
So the third key change is actually quite relevant to our overseas and challenger banks, because overseas and challenger banks have a lot of unrated counterparties.
Mm-hmm.
So the current approach to assign risk weight to those unrated exposure is to derive the risk weight from the external credit ratings of the jurisdiction in which they are incorporated. But the new Basel III no longer allow this approach. They have proposed a new approach, especially to unrated banking exposure and unrated corporate exposures. So in future, banks have to follow this new approach to assign risk weights to these unrated exposures.
Okay, and what is this new approach, Bowen?
So for interbank exposures, you have to classify your counterparty banks into three categories based on their capital adequacy ratio and also based the credit risk in relation to the exposure to your counterparty banks. By referring to the different categorization of your banking counterparties, you can assign risk weight. For corporate exposure, it's much easier. You just assign a flat 100% risk weight to it, unless your corporate counterparty is an SME. In that case, you can assign a lower risk weight, which is 85% to it.
Okay, that seems fairly simple to understand. Bowen, thank you. Moving back to you, Fuong, can you give me an overview of the changes on the operational risk framework?
Yes. Of course, Greg. So it's really simple. Going forward, there will be only one approach for calculating operational risk capital requirement. The same one will apply to all banks, regardless of their size or their complexity.
Mm-hmm.
There is a formula, and of course, the formula would naturally take into account the size and the level of income, but it will be the same formula for everyone. That formula won't change much the calculation for small banks
mm-hmm.
That are currently using the basic indicator approach, which is clearly based on their level of income with an associated coefficient.
Yeah.
Going forward, the element that will be added to that is in relation to historical losses, but historical losses have to be taken into account only if your level of income reaches a certain threshold, which is set at 1 billion. So I think that most of the small banks will still be continuing calculating their capital risk only based on their income. However, they still need to compute their historical losses for disclosure and for gathering that information should they need them in the future.
Okay. I mean, one thing that I get asked quite regularly is, you know, a scenario where we've got a large one-off operational loss, for whatever reason it might be, how will that have an impact on our capital requirements for the op risk section going forwards if I do not meet that 1 billion income threshold?
It might or it might not. So that comes back to a discretionary decision of your supervisor. So the regulator may decide to allow you to exclude that one-off operational loss if it considers that it will influence your calculation and not necessarily reflect the reality of your organization. So there is a discretionary right for your regulator to exclude that, or to give you the right to exclude that from your calculation.
Okay, thank you for that. Anything else on operational risk that we need to concern ourselves with?
I don't think so. So, as I said, I don't think there will be a large, significant change in the capital requirements that you will get from the formula. But still, the new formula still need to be set up in your systems and in your reporting and calculation processes. But I don't think that will be a large impact.
Okay. Thank you for that, Phuong. Earlier on, you said that there were other aspects of Basel III which may not be as relevant for the smaller banks, overseas and challenger banks, as for some of the larger ones. What else is there on the horizon in terms of the regulatory developments that we need to consider?
Yeah, of course. So you may remember that in November 2016, the European Commission published proposed amendments to CRR. So we know that under the name of CRR2 now. This is still being discussed at the European Council level. It is not implemented yet, but it might come into force sometime in 2019, so in less than a year now. So that is something that banks should be look out for. CRR2 will come into force quite soon.
Thank you, Phuong. Maybe as a final remark, Bowen, what are the key takeaways that I need to think about going forwards?
So the finalized Basel III will definitely have a capital impact on all the banks. But for smaller banks like overseas and challenger banks, this impact won't be significant. So your capital requirements might increase a little bit, but it won't be much. What's more important for a smaller bank is to consider what infrastructure, what IT, enhancements you need to do, because there will be an increased volume and granularity of data required for regulatory reporting, for calculating, for computing your risk-weighted assets. So it's better to start early to implement these IT enhancements.
Thank you for that, Bowen, and thank you, Phuong, for joining me today. As ever, if you want any more information about this topic or anything relevant to the banking sector, please look at our website. You'll find many more details on that. My contact details are on there as well, including the contact details of Phuong and Bowen. So in the meantime, thank you for listening there.